This is a really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Mark Charter. Mark Charter. Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the podcast. We're out here at Charterhouse. What's up, Mark Charter?
We are at Charterhouse. Looks a little girly today. Honestly, a lot of pink in here. My niece had her wedding shower at Charterhouse. So we've got some, Jared, you should help yourself afterwards. We've got some leftover cake, some cookies. That's a lemonade stand, by the way, over there, that white thing. Someone built that for it. Actually, my wife's husband built that. So, you know, we're going to sell lemonade out of that to help pay the bills around here. So 10 cents a cup.
So
that'll be good.
Your niece is getting married.
My niece is getting married.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Jeez. Yeah. My oldest niece is 7 years old, so that I'm a long ways away from having my niece get married.
It helps that my brother is 9 years older than me, and he has daughters that like to get married young. My oldest niece is probably 23.
Okay.
Maybe 23.
Is she married already?
She's married. Been married for a couple years.
Oh, okay.
She was married when my wife was very pregnant with our daughter, so she's been married 2 years. And then my other niece is maybe 19, 20,
oh,
maybe.
Oh, wow. She in college right now?
In college, yep.
Where's she going?
She's getting married Iowa State. She's a clone.
Seems like a good girl to me.
They're just, you know, some people at those ages know what they want.
Yeah.
I sure as hell didn't.
You were dating Katie back then.
I was dating Katie, but I was also majoring in Mario Kart. And GoldenEye.
Oh,
at the time.
How great was GoldenEye?
So I had this is funny. Jared, you're young, but have you played GoldenEye? Can you join this discussion?
Have I played GoldenEye?
I don't know.
Yes, answer the question. Okay.
And Mario Kart? You're aware?
I grew up on the 64 still.
Okay.
Yeah.
So GoldenEye used to be a big thing in our apartment in college. Me and three roommates. And Mario Kart. We played a lot of Mario Kart, especially. And we'd all four play. And we'd play Wario Stadium. Where you could, like, lightning someone and make them fall into the ravine.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I used to bet my buddy. And for five semesters, I had an Iowa State daily route. So I would get up at 6 in the morning, drive to campus, pick up my bundles of papers, and then I would deliver them to buildings on campus. And then go home and, you know, do school and whatever. But I was betting one of my roommates who also had a daily route. I got him a job over there. So he had his own route. And we were betting, and the amount of money was accumulating. He was losing more and more and more money to me. And back then, none of us even had any money. So in hindsight, it was pretty dumb. But I think it was probably around $1,000 or so after weeks of playing and kind of escalating, him getting more and more mad that I kept beating him in Mario Kart. So I was nice. I took pity on him in a way, I guess. And I said, I'll eliminate your debt, but you have to do my route for a month. So for a month, he had to wake up and do his route and my route. We didn't tell our boss that because she wouldn't have approved of that. So he had to get up extra early to do that. and I still got the paycheck. You know, you didn't get paid for that.
Well, sure.
You know, I got the paycheck. That was the greatest month of my life, watching him get up and have to go.
And you were sleeping in.
Go do my route. And then another time he lost a bet to us, and we let him out of that one, but he had to grow a mustache, and only a mustache only. So, and then I remember being at Sips on campus, and we would go up to girls, and he'd be off shooting pool, and we'd get a girl to go up and say, like, just random stuff to him. But we had one girl go up and say, "Who do you think you are, Tom Selleck?" Because he was, like, super, super embarrassed of the mustache because it wasn't looking good. It was one of those, like, you'd look at the guy and be like, does he not know that he can't grow a proper mustache? So, and we knew this about him. And he would, like, when he talked to you, he'd kind of cover his mouth a little bit, you know, shield his mouth. And he just felt really embarrassed about it. So,
could you grow a proper mustache?
Well, I mean, I have one now that's happened to be connected to a beard. So you just imagine me shaving the rest of my face.
Would it grow nice and thick though from here? Because right now it's kind of you trim it.
I shave it. Yeah. It would. Yeah, it would be decent.
I think mine would be horrible.
I come from a good mustache family. My dad had a mustache most of my life. He doesn't have one now. That was weird. When
Nobody
you see your father
mustache.
Like a certain way your whole life,
yep.
And then he shaves his face, that seemed odd to me. But I'm used to it now.
I can always remember where I was. And what I was doing when my dad came out and shaved his mustache, I was watching it was the Orange Bowl. It was like Nebraska versus Florida or Miami, maybe. I forget. This was in the 90s. And he came out. He just freshly shaved his mustache off. And you're right. I looked at him. I go, who the hell is that?
Oh!
Yeah.
He screamed, "Where'd my daddy go?"
Yep.
I think my kids would be weirded out because they've never seen me without facial hair. I don't know why. Like, I'm tempted some days just to shave because, you know, 3 days later it'll pretty much be back, but I don't want to do it.
You don't like to shave, huh?
Who does?
I don't mind it.
My roommate
do
had
you like it though. You're like, oh man, I get a shave this morning.
No,
that
I don't.
Feels good.
I don't like it, but I personally think I look better with a clean shave. Some people look good with a little bit of
you
facial
could grow
hair.
A beard though. I can see now.
November, December last year. I had a beard.
Are you gonna rock one for Vegas now that you're going?
Well, it's not for sure that I'm going yet.
You told me 99% this morning.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I've not signed on the dotted line yet, but no, I will not. I will be cleanly shaven in Vegas.
Okay. Your chest too?
No, I'm not. I don't shave my chest.
Ever? You don't trim it?
I've trimmed. No, not really.
We're going to spend a little bit of time by the pool this year, so you might want to trim it up a little
bit. Trim it up a little.
A little manscaping's not going to hurt anybody.
You going to go get a spray tan again?
I probably will.
You can have Sarah spray you down at your house in your undies?
So I was talking about this the other day with her. We were eating lunch. I said, so Sarah works here. She's been on. She's talked to people before. And you know, I'm on record. Sarah's an attractive girl. Everybody knows this. I'm not breaking any news. Well, people that are listening don't know this. But she's an attractive girl. And that's relevant to the story. Because the first time that I ever met Sarah was I was going to Mexico with my wife and a couple other people. And heard that she did a great job spray tanning. So I went. And I'd never been spray tanned before this point. And I went there. I wasn't really sure how it worked. But basically, you get down to your skivvies, and that's it. And then she puts up this little tent thing so the spray doesn't go everywhere. And then you literally stand in front of her while she gets down on her knees to get your legs and stuff. So she's kneeling right in front of you while you're standing there in your underwear. So it's a little bit personal, obviously. And she's a pro. You know, she does it. And apparently the women get completely naked. She's not down with the dudes doing that, which I understand, but women,
sure.
Women go buff. And I was telling her the other day, I said, I think I have to find a new person to do my spray tans because at this point, you kind of work for me. You know, I view you in a different light now because you're doing the real estate thing. And she still does spray tan people on the side. But she's like, why? Why? I'm like, I don't think it's probably a good look to have your boss in his underwear right in front of you again. You know, that was a different time in our lives. So,
and you're also a man and getting a spray tan is a little bit.
I'm not. I'm telling you this for sure. You feel probably 50% better, 25-50% better about yourself when you have a great tan. You just do.
Really?
You just do.
Do you have a link to this study that shows this?
I created the study myself. It hasn't been vetted yet, but I don't know. You guys don't feel better when you're tan versus a pasty white?
Yeah, a normal hard-earned tan from being outside, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's hard to get an even tan from being outside. You're going to have farmer's tan.
No, there's no question about it. You just own that. You own that you're from Iowa, that I don't mow with my shirt off because I'm, you know, not in shape like Jared here. And so, you know, I have an uneven tan. But this, my favorite part of your tanning story, this was right before Vegas last year that Sarah got down and spray tan.
Did I tan for Vegas? I did. Okay. I probably did. I don't remember.
So we're sitting at the bar waiting to get on the airplane, and you had not checked in yet because you were waiting for everyone to come through.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm making fun of you to everyone else like I typically do.
Sure.
You know? And I'm saying, yeah, so Charter had to get a spray tan from Vegas, and he had this girl. She showed up. She got down on her knees, and he's sitting there in boxers.
I know where this is going.
And all of a sudden, someone nudges me and goes, her husband is the one sitting right next to you right there. I felt a little bad about that one.
Good thing you weren't like, and he told me, dude, you know, he just liked it so much.
And by the way, he's also an ex-UFC fighter, so he could kill you in a second.
Dude, I'm scared of her husband, man. Yeah, I don't think they listen to this, but John could kill me. There's probably a lot of dudes that could kill me, but we were in Kansas City recently, and he put me in a chokehold just to show me how it works. You know, I hadn't been, and he wasn't even trying. I mean, he just got me in the proper UFC chokehold, right, that you would do if you were wrestling, and kind of put his arm up for extra force, and he was barely squeezing, and I felt like I could probably pass out in 3 seconds. From this thing.
Are you tapping out?
So restrictive. I don't know how people fight through that stuff. I mean, yeah, you can go to sleep quick if that's applied properly. So, no, I don't. So, anyway, she says she wants to still do the spray tans, and maybe I will. We should have Jared go get one, see if he likes it.
I will not.
You could use a little sun.
No, I'm good.
You would never get one?
No. It'd have to be a pretty special occasion, probably.
She wouldn't be able to reach your face. You'd have to get on a chair.
Yeah.
And, like, get up there. It's like, she's kind of short. She would have problems doing you. That sounded bad. That's what she said, for sure. So, what else is new other than it's hot out?
So, it's hot out. I take the kids to the daycare. We go take the kids at in-home daycare. They have people up working on the roof all day today. They took it off. They're putting a new roof. Can you imagine working outside – putting up roofs right now? It's supposed to be, what, 115 heat index today?
Yep. I posted a picture last night. I did a little Bebop's drive through, and they were resurfacing the entire Home Depot lot.
How do you not weigh 300 pounds?
Hey, man, don't hate on Bebop's.
I love Bebop's. I'm not ripping Bebop's at all. But he eats absolute junk, and he's a fairly fit-looking individual.
I eat junk, too.
I mean, well, so somebody like Jared will never get fat. I mean, too tall, you know?
Adam's pretty tall.
Yeah, and he's
yeah, he's a fat ass.
He's got a little pudge.
Hell yeah, I got him. A pudge.
But Jerry, what are you, 6'7"?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's tough for a 6'7" dude to get fat. It really is. I'm 5'11", maybe. I don't know. I'm not a health guy. Is it metabolism?
It has to be. If I ate how you ate, I would weigh 30 pounds more easy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely weigh more than I should. I'm close to 2 spins, which for 5'11" is probably not great. A doctor would tell me I'm fat. Like, on the health scale that they use, like the fat scale, I'm probably fat at that weight for my height.
Yeah.
I bet I'm supposed to be like 170, 175, somewhere in there.
If you look good, you feel good, what's it matter?
Well, that's where he gets a spray tan. You know, that makes him feel better.
There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, fellas. You know, like,
that's not taking care of yourself. No, you're spraying chemicals on your body.
Yeah, no, but it's better than too much sun.
That's true.
You know,
I can't argue that.
I believe those chemicals won't give me cancer. I guess we'll find out in a few years. Sarah tells me they're fine. You got to take care of yourself. It's like women that go and get their pedicures and their manicures and their, you know, their hair done and whatever. I mean, yeah, a spray tan, okay. At least I don't color my hair, you know. I'm letting the gray flow.
That's what me too.
This, you don't really, yeah. Do you
have a ton of gray hair. It's cut really short right now, so you can't tell, but yeah, I got a lot of gray
hair. Does it seem like gray hair happens younger now?
No. My dad was bald and graying at age 22.
So he was graying at 22?
He was bald, too. I mean, pretty bald.
Really?
Yeah. He also had 4 kids by the time he was 22. Or 23.
You're going to scare Jared. He's going to be like, crap.
My dad's had gray hair as long as I can remember.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was 30 when I was born. And I mean, all of my memories of my dad, he's had some gray hair.
So your parents are the same age as my parents when I was born, 30.
Yeah.
That's happening later, though, for sure. People having kids later. Much later. I mean, we're about to have our final kid, and I'm 37. So,
really? Yeah.
And I know people that are my age that are dating people. They don't have any kids and no wife, and they want kids, but I just can't settle down. I don't know many of them. Most of them my age now are divorced. If they're single, they're divorced.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I can't talk about my divorce friends anymore. I got in trouble earlier.
As you should have gotten in trouble.
People, I got to remind myself every time we do this that people listen. every time.
It gets back to him very quickly.
Well, like, no, I heard, I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a past episode where I was talking about, you know, an acquaintance of mine and mentioned their spouse, not by name, but just mentioned their spouse in connection to the friend. And I learned 2 weeks ago or whatever that spouse now hates me because she heard that I was talking about her. And again, I didn't mention her by name, but and she didn't listen. A friend of hers was listening.
Yeah.
Told her.
What was the story about?
Mark was talking. It was about a mutual friend of ours. And just.
So you didn't say anything bad about her?
I said that, you know, I don't want to get in trouble again for saying the same thing. But
no, you can't.
But I questioned.
Double jeopardy. You can't get in trouble again.
I questioned whether this individual was as supportive as they should be.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about. They got back to him, and that's the same thing I would have told to her. You know, I realize this is public; people can hear what we're saying on this. But yeah, friend ratted me out on that one, and apparently she hates me now. So
did she
get in line? That's what I say. Get in line.
The chances of her not hating you before that, though, were probably pretty slim.
She probably had her reservations already, but that just solidified it. So you know, I feel bad. I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking poorly about them, but I was stating an opinion about how I felt, and that's just the way I felt.
It is funny the amount of people that listen to this and then relay it on to people that don't listen. So my family member, they're so supportive. They've listened to exactly zero podcasts of mine, besides my brother GR. No one else listens.
Yep.
We got done doing that podcast, I don't know, a couple months ago where we talked about my sister.
Yep.
It got uploaded. 15 minutes later, I get a call from her. People were already sending her messages. Your brother's talking about you on the podcast.
And she probably still didn't go listen.
No, she didn't go. And she's pretty. She didn't care. She didn't give a rip. But she acted for about 10 seconds like she was pissed off at me. So, yeah.
I've met your sister. I like your sister. She's nice.
I'm glad. Yeah, she's pretty
She's
nice.
The only sister, though, right?
Only one of six.
You got a big brood, man. I saw the family photos the other day on Facebook or something, and like, man, there's a lot of you.
First five boys, and the youngest is Annie. Girl,
you're all
spoiled.
You're all big stock too. Like you got a lot of tall brothers.
Yeah. I mean, me, Ryan, and JR are tall. David, and Cheezer are not. Cheezer's only like 5'8", 5'9".
Cheezer's the best basketball player of the group, though.
I love it.
He can stroke the three the best, probably.
When are we going to have our three-point shooting contest?
Well, Jared and I are the only ones that have actually lived up to the trash talking. You and Williams are well-known just talkers. Don't back it up ever.
Since you guys like to play, find the gym, tell me when it's going to be, and I'll show up.
So I'm putting a basketball court in my backyard right now. It'll be up on Saturday.
What do you mean by a basketball court?
They're pouring concrete. I got a goal setter hoop going up there. I'm going to...
Just concrete or will be like a surface to it?
I'm not going to put the surface up now. We'll see how the concrete goes. Maybe down the road I might do a surface, but they're going to be painting lines on there.
How big are we talking about?
30 by 30. I didn't go for the full 45 by 30.
So 30 by 30 so we can shoot legit threes.
From the top of the key, not from the sides. Sides is not... I mean, we can shoot from the grass, I guess, but it won't be...
Top of the key, I'm deadly.
Top of the key, yep.
Yeah, I don't feel any shame with the bank either now and then.
You should feel a shame.
The goal is going to the hoop. That's
so
the goal.
So, people listening, Charter shot a three. His wife videotaped it to show how good of a shot he is, and it was an absolute brick that banked off and went in. Like Ben McLemore down at Fog Allen, sitting into overtime, banked crappy
the good,
three.
The good news is that was only take two. So I actually made one. I was dressed in jeans and a shirt. We were just out killing some time in Okoboji, and we found a hoop. And, you know, I chucked one.
Yeah.
I just wanted to show you that I'm capable of throwing a ball that far from that distance into the hoop.
I was really proud of you, buddy.
So I think, I still think with proper warm-up, you know, top of the key, I could throw 70% up there.
70%?
70%. Stronger. Make your microphone work, man.
Yeah, I feel like it's like on and
there.
Off. It's like off and on.
Don't move. I can hear you. I can hear you just fine.
No, it's about time you step up with the microphone game here.
I think 70%
is
doable.
I don't know what the problem is with mine.
It might just be a faulty headset.
I'm not going to shoot 70% over a season, but for one contest, get warmed up. Top of the key.
Hey,
I mean, you better be shooting pretty well from the top of the key. I mean, it's straight on.
Nobody guarding you.
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to drain several.
I'm guessing on a good day you'll be 40%.
I'd take that bet. I'm going to win that one just like I'm going to win the Kershaw bet, too. Well, if Jake comes on.
Kershaw because of
Kershaw screwed Andrew. You, dude.
Yeah,
Kershaw's a, back screwed you.
I don't think it changes anything. I think he's still going to go down as the greatest pitcher of our lifetime.
Did so. I not offer you a buyout? I think you did.
You did,
and you didn't take it.
You said you'd give me the $250 right now as long as I agreed to go to Vegas.
And you didn't take it.
I didn't take it.
And now you're still going to Vegas, apparently, and you didn't get the $250.
You keep talking, I might be dropping. Might not be going.
That was a bad, bad move out of you.
So, Charter, 44 days until football season. Are
That's
you
hard to believe.
Are you excited?
I am. I'll admit it. Here's what's weird. I'm as excited as a human can be for what will probably be a horrible season, relatively speaking. I mean, we're talking maybe 5 wins if things roll our way. That's the way I view it. 6, hard to imagine 6. Very easy to imagine 3. I can see 4. I think we're going to get Texas, or we're going to get K-State, and then the obvious games in there are Kansas, UNI, San Jose State. I think San Jose State, though, has been good in the past. I mean, that's not a gimme.
It sure should be if you want to get the
– I think we end up at 4-5. But, no, I'm excited for the culture change. I mean, I don't really care. Campbell gets a 100% pass this year, you know. No pressure. Let's see what he does. But I'm intrigued by the fact that he's been a winner everywhere he's gone. Everywhere he played, everywhere he's coached, he's been a winner. So how does he handle possibly not being a winner this first year?
Somebody commented on the countdown to kickoff thing that I put on Facebook. He commented on it and said, nice try, but it's 45 days till kickoff. Like I was trying to pull a fast one on him.
That's where you say, shut it, dick.
Nice try, man.
Just go out of your way.
Because you put it today?
Yeah. Well, it was 44 from today.
44 days, 7 hours, 58 minutes as I'm recording this right now.
Yeah.
According to the Cyclone Countdown.
But it's 44 days. I mean, tomorrow 43, and then it would be 6 weeks from Saturday. So that'd be 42.
Man.
And the guy's like, nice try. You can't pull a fast one on me. It's not 44 days.
At some point this season, Gray, you're Mr. Tailgate, et cetera. At some point this season, I do think we need to do a little bit of a Fawcast tailgate up there.
First game of the year, I'm working on it, buddy.
44 days to go.
I will have something for you very shortly.
What is the game time of the first game?
7 p.m.
On a Saturday, right?
On a Saturday, you and I at home.
So that's some solid tailgating opportunity right there.
What are you most excited about? Are you most excited to see how Joel Lanning progresses as a quarterback, how our defense is, or are you most excited to hear what song they play?
I'm more excited about the song.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
Because that's going to set the tone for the season.
That's going to set the tone for the
season. I want to see how much they use Lazard this year.
Did you read Williams' piece about just throwing the damn ball?
I rarely read Williams' stuff, to be honest with you.
He appreciates your support.
I'm a friend. He can call me if he needs me. But, you know, he has plenty of people reading his stuff.
He'll probably need you.
Nobody can hang with my stuff.
With Pica.
Yeah, I know. Chris is doing fine without my love. I'm interested to see that. I'm really interested to see what we do with this apparently Swiss cheese line that we got this year. I mean, that's what you're hearing about more than anything else when it comes to the team. The line's going to suck, the line's going to suck, the line's going to suck. So be it. You still got to play games.
Yeah.
So how are we getting around that the fact that the line sucks? I mean, we're not going to have a lot of 7-step drops, et cetera.
Nah, I'll be out of shotgun anyway.
So what do we do? What do we do to get around that? Because that's kind of a big part of a football team is your offensive line. So I don't know. Dumps, screens, quick passes. I mean, what are we doing?
Let's get Adam Gray out there.
No.
At left tackle.
Yeah.
We could.
Yeah, that would be
I don't know. Legit question. What do we do?
I don't know. You actually posted this when we were talking in Slack. You actually think, barring injury, the offensive line will be decent.
I don't think they're going to be decent. I think
you said no.
I think that they
well, decent
they'd
is
be
average.
Good enough to move the football. I mean, I think that's all you have to be, you know.
But
I think if they can be average, that team can win 5 or 6 games.
Where are they going to be worse though? Pass blocking or run blocking?
I'd say pass blocking.
Probably pass blocking. So we like, can I expect a healthy dose of runs.
Some people try and I think some people try and say that pass blocking or run blocking is harder, but I think run blocking is probably would be easier than pass blocking. That's just my opinion.
It depends on what kind of offensive line you have.
Well,
too. Some guys are road graders and can't move their
feet. I think pass blocking takes a lot more technique to do it properly.
As a run blocker, you're all downhill.
Yeah.
You know,
see guy, hit guy.
Right,
body
exactly.
on body, body on body. But when you're pass blocking and you got people coming you know, crossing over, coming around the end. You better have good technique or you're going to get burnt big.
It depends on the scheme, too, and what the plays are. But I think potentially, we don't know anything about this kid yet, but Brian Bobek, if I'm saying his name correct.
Did you see this, Charter?
Bobek. So Iowa State just picked up a six-year grad transfer. He went to Ohio State as a center, played as a freshman, played a couple games, and then ever since he's been hurt, he went to Minnesota, started five games last year before he got hurt, missed the last eight games. But he's come in. Campbell already said yesterday at Big 12 Media Days that he's already pound for pound the strongest guy in their program, and he just got here. If he could show up, become the starting center, they can move Julian Good-Jones to like a guard position or whoever the starting center is right now. Who's the starting center right now?
It is Julian Good-Jones, but even then you could keep him at center and it gives him a chance. He's only a freshman.
No,
it gives him a chance to where he can sit behind somebody that knows what they're doing at that position.
That could be a potential, or I guess I don't know how good he is. If he's one of your top five guys, then you move him.
Based on the fact that he apparently played at Ohio State, as you say, if the guy shows up and has one leg, you're still playing him. I mean, he's got to have talent.
Yeah.
And we're lacking that to a certain extent, so get him in there.
It sounds like a kid who just had horrible luck his whole career as far as injuries.
Oh, yeah. He had some, like, I think he missed his second season because of, well, he transferred to Minnesota and then he missed a year because of something like with the lining in his heart.
Jeez.
Missed the whole season.
You know, minor injury, obviously. So,
guy with the chip, and you know he's going to work his A off to be too good. So I think that was a big pickup. But, I mean, it always comes down to this with Iowa State. We say it over and over, offensive and defensive line especially, because we struggle so much to build depth there. They can't afford any injuries
because there's
no depth. I mean,
rarely can we. Let me throw this out there, Grace, so you can get your boner for the day. what are we looking at for next year when it comes to the line? So that would be both a recruiting question and a JUCO question. What's on tap? Can we conceivably be much better next year?
You know, we're actually going to do a podcast after this called the Recruiting Podcast.
Yeah, it's I don't listen to that. I don't listen to that.
Thank you again for your support.
Yep.
But we'll hit on that quite a bit. The Iowa State doesn't lose a ton on the line for next year. I think they lose Nick Fett and Patrick Scoggins.
Yeah, the next Orlando Pace, Nick Fett.
I must have missed him the last couple of years.
Jeez.
The next
Adam,
Orlando
you try and
Pace.
Act like that's how people talk him up.
Well, that's how you talk him up.
I don't talk him up like you that. That's complete sarcasm.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I actually think he'll do a good job for Iowa State at the guard position.
Yeah.
When people sit here, and it's going to sound bad to say, but when people say Nick Fett is our best offensive lineman, he very well could be, and good for him. But that's not a good sign for your offensive line. When a walk-on fifth-year senior who has only started one game ever is your best offensive lineman, it's not a good. Now, if he started on your offensive line and he was your fourth or fifth best guy, I don't think I have a problem with that. But when people say he's your best guy, that's not a good sign. It's just not.
Agreed.
But, I mean, next year the offensive line will be a little bit better. Campos will be a senior. Philbert will be a senior. So we have two tackles that are seniors right there. And then we have a couple JUCO guys who will be in. So I don't actually see them going out and trying to get a lot of JUCO offensive linemen. If there's one that falls into place that they like or they love, they'll probably go get them. But otherwise, I think they're going to go get six offensive linemen, the high school kids.
I was going to say, they're in position to get like six high school offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So it's like
that's such a process, though.
It is, and they won't be ready to play for 3 years at the earliest, probably.
Such a process. I mean, what's amazing to me is the growth that happens from a high school offensive lineman to a college one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they come in, they're like, step one, fatten you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, training table. That's all you do for your first year. I mean, we got to put 30, 40, 50 pounds on these guys to get them because, I mean, some of them come in built that way, but not most. I mean, most have a ton of growing to do.
I think I actually did not realize that Philbert was only a junior. For some reason, I thought he was a senior.
Yeah, he was a three-year JUCO.
See, that's actually big for Iowa State.
Yeah.
Because it gives Sean Foster, and I know we've talked about this, Dylan Soner, I think they're going to move to a tackle at some point. Those guys can be redshirt sophomores by the time they have to play.
Yeah.
That's big because, I mean, Campos had to play as a redshirt freshman. He wasn't ready to play.
Yeah. Power 5 conferences, what percentage of offensive linemen in those conferences are freshmen?
Very small.
Tiny amount, right?
2%, maybe?
I mean, it would be like the guys at Alabama,
they're like a top five
prospect.
Like the Cameron Robinsons of the world.
You can't keep him off the field.
Yeah.
Like, he's that good.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, so. Either that or it's a program like Iowa State where they've lost everybody.
Yeah, where guys have just gotten hurt.
And I think the big thing is they're just – I mean, they're 18 years old. They're just not big enough. I mean, you know, you get quarterbacks, a lot of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, D-backs.
They're away
from the
ball.
Play.
Yeah.
It's fine. But offensive linemen is simply about size, and they're not big enough when they come in.
And defensive tackles, too. You might see a defensive end if they're just athletic enough to kind of rush the passer, but defensive tackles typically don't play either.
You're just playing against grown men in there.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a difference between a 18-year-old that's 290, 310 pounds, and a 22 or 3-year-old that's 290 and 300 pounds, you know?
I will say this, and since he's committed to Oklahoma, but Marquise Hayes, I think, had a chance to come in and play for Iowa State next year as a guard before he now committed to Oklahoma. So we'll never find out. Just because you look at a big boy like that, he looked strong enough to do it.
I'm not surprised that he ended up at somewhere like Oklahoma.
I know. That's so, tough. That's a tough beat.
So next year, do we do JUCOs if we can? I mean, that's the quick solution.
I don't think they will.
I'd say if, like, maybe in the 18 class that they could maybe try and add one or two more just to fill some holes.
And they'll have a better idea of how these freshmen are.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to give them time regardless.
You know, it's really kind of rough, too. I'm looking at the guys that are sophomores this year. We have Corey Kudenko and Will Windham. We haven't heard anything of those two guys, have we? So we have a little bit of a gap there between our freshmen and our juniors, where there's no one there.
And that's really
that's where JUCO would fit in for 2018.
And
like
that's where it is that the depth is decimated. Look at a lot of these places that have good offensive lines. It's they've got a lot of sophomores, they've got a lot of freshmen, and then you've got some like redshirt juniors that are sprinkled in that can rise up.
Yep,
but Iowa State, it goes from you've got some seniors, you've got a few seniors, you've got a few juniors, and then you've got freshmen, and that's pretty much it, you know.
I love how we're giving offensive linemen some love today. They rarely get any.
Well, we need to.
Who is your guys? You guys? Can you still add a name? We'll see if it's the same name, but you know, and I'm not going back to the 50s here. The last 20 years, who is the best offensive lineman in Iowa State's football history?
Colicchio Simile,
for sure. I mean, obviously, he's got the NFL cred. So
making big money. A lot of people rank him as one of the top three or four guards in the NFL.
How did we get him?
What about at the college level, though?
He was great at the college level. Now, people say, oh, he had a lot of false starts. Well, yeah, I'll take a 5-yard penalty for everything else he did for us. I would say even at the college level, he was our best. He got hurt, nagging injuries a lot, but he just mauled people.
Yeah.
How did we get him? He wasn't a highly ranked player. Chizik got him from Texas. I think we might have even stolen from UTEP. I'm going to pull that up right now.
So you're saying Chizik actually did something good for us?
Chizik actually recruited the offensive line fairly well. He had that Adrian Houghton, too, who only played here for 2 years. Didn't make it, but he was a talent.
He was firmly entrenched in the offensive line room.
He was.
Well, good joke there.
That will never go away in Iowa State lore. Anytime you're committed to anything, it's like Adam Gray is firmly entrenched on this Vegas trip, which means 50-50. Till something better comes along, you know? He's firmly entrenched.
I am firmly entrenched. Houston OT makes the switch. I'm trying to see where he switched from. UTEP. I was right.
UTEP.
God, I'm good.
How can you turn down El Paso, Texas to come to Ames, Iowa?
Chizik just knew what he was doing.
God love Chizik. Love him.
You know what I always find funny is when fans hold on to every word that a coach says and stuff like that. Like, firmly, at this point, don't people really understand what coach speak is?
Yeah.
I mean,
that was a little bit strong even for coach speak. It's like just something about that phrase. I'm firmly
entrenched. It's just kind of a goofy – it's just kind of a goofy thing to say.
If you're entrenched, you're not going anywhere, dude. You're dug in the ground. You're kind of permanent. And it was just – I mean, Chizik rubs people that are Iowans wrong because he was just a liar.
It wasn't like he went from like Greg McDermott, Iowa State, to Creighton. He went from Iowa State to Auburn. So, I mean, that's – I don't know. I mean, I love Cyclone Fanatic, and I'm firmly entrenched in Cyclone Fanatic, but if ESPN comes up and says, hey, Gray, we need you to come work for us.
What do you think ESPN's going to want you to do?
I'm just throwing out something into sports. I don't
– Are you firmly entrenched in your marriage, Gray?
I'm firmly entrenched in my marriage, yes. Okay. I can firmly say that.
Okay, until the Playboy Mansion comes calling.
I'm not going up. I would not do that.
I so don't believe you, dude.
What would be so great about the Playboy Mansion?
So who's one of your favorite celebrities?
Is it the Playboy Mansion for sale?
Like, name
Did you guys hear that?
I think it is.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Who's the guy that bought it apparently though can't do anything with it or change it until Hugh Hefner dies. Something along those lines. Because Hugh's living there.
Oh, okay.
Like he can buy it, but Hugh gets to live there.
What's the point of buying it then?
Well, just so no one else buys it down the road.
Can the guy still go stay there and like say, hey, you two ladies come with me?
I feel like there's hella rooms in it, isn't there?
There's got to be a lot of rooms. Yeah.
I've heard it's disgusting in there. It's old. It looks old, smells old.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, Hugh Hefner's balls are
I'm
like
sure it's
everywhere.
Really, I'm sure there's black light on that place.
So where, so who's like your favorite movie star? Like name a celebrity that you actually, okay, you're a Michael Jordan guy. Greatest of all time, right?
No. But anyway.
All right, Kobe, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Kobe. So we're in Vegas. We're in October. We're in Vegas. We're hanging out by the pool, right? The cabana next to us, Kobe Bryant is hanging out. We get talking, and we're sharing some beers.
Instant connection between
Kobe.
And
Kobe becomes part of the group, right? Yep. It's like, you guys are awesome, blah, blah, blah. By the way, tonight I got the private jet over at McCarran Airport here. Yeah. I'm flying to this Playboy party.
Let's do it, Kobe.
I'm going. He's like, I want you guys all to come. And the 11 of us are like, dude, Kobe, we are in. And Gray's like, no, dude. I'm firmly entrenched in my marriage, and I can't go. It's like, bull.
No,
shit, man.
There I'm not going to the play. I'm just going to hang with Kobe. I'm going to keep him out of trouble.
Say what you need to say, man.
You're going to be Kobe's fall guy.
Everyone needs to follow again now.
I don't buy it for a second.
I'd go with a celebrity there because that would be part of it, but just to go there with you, Yahoos, no.
I just don't understand the difference. It's the same place. There's still girls around. Nothing's changed.
There's a
You guys just aren't Kobe Bryant.
I don't understand the aspect of girls, right? Do you not see
girls? You don't understand girls?
No, I mean, are you married? What are you going to do with these girls? What are you going
to
do with them?
I'm going to shake their hands and say nice to meet you. That's what I'm going to do.
That was a beautiful spread in last month's issue.
I'm a gentleman.
Last time you bought a Playboy?
Playboy's not even naked anymore. Like, they have clothes on in Playboy now. They don't have nudity in Playboy anymore.
So you obviously haven't bought one since then. But before that, when was the last time? Did you have, like, a monthly subscription?
I remember actually buying one the last time. This is why people listen, because I'll actually tell you guys the truth versus lie to you. Don't ask me why, but the last time I bought one would have been – remember when Meet the Parents came out Ben Stiller?
Yep.
And the girl that he was married to on the movie was named I think it's Terry Polo, if I'm remembering the name right. And she was on the cover.
Really? She's not even
– I know. She's not even – so this is why this story's weird. So this would have been at least 10 years ago. And I was in a gas station, and she was on the cover, and the wife was even in the car at the time. I just hopped in the car and like handed her the magazine because she knew I thought she was cute. And again, I don't know why I thought she was cute. It's weird. I don't even like blondes, and she was a blonde, so go figure. But that would have been the last time. I mean, in my whole life, that might have been the only Playboy that I ever bought.
I don't think I've ever bought one.
You'd see them at a buddy's place, or you know, friends would have subscriptions for a buck, or you know, whatever. It was cheap to subscribe. In college, I had a roommate that, you know, had that one and had Penthouse and had like all of them. So they were around, they were available. But no, that was probably the last time maybe the last and only time.
Were you guys sharing these magazines?
Oh, of course. That's what you do in college. You know, it's so gross. When you think about it, like they're sitting on the back of the toilet, you know, just waiting to be read. Of course, it's for the articles, Gray. Remember?
I forgot how dirty college apartments were until I went
to
Jared's a couple weeks ago.
Horrible.
And yours wasn't that bad.
No.
But it is a reminder.
Usually they stink because guys aren't doing their laundry all that regularly. So you usually got a pile of clothes in the corner of a room or in a closet.
And they're still pretty active playing basketball.
Your bed sheets stink. There's usually like a beer can pyramid.
Just the other day because Lolo peed on them.
Okay, so if Lolo hadn't peed on him, when would have been the last time you changed your sheets?
Well, probably the last time she peed on him. But
first of all, I want to know why Lolo Jones was over in your apartment, and then why did she pee on your sheets? Is that a pet?
That's my dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a crazy
Lolo?
Dog.
Yeah, Lolo.
After Lolo Jones?
No, it was actually because my girlfriend thought of it, and then my roommate thought of it, but they hadn't, like, talked about it. So
They happened to think of Lolo?
Yeah, so they thought – so it was just, like, destiny.
Well, speaking of girlfriend, I think the Fockers want an update as far as how your love life is.
I don't know what update you want. Like, there's no update to give you.
Still together.
Still together. Still happily. Yeah. Yeah. You know, still head over heels.
Still good.
Happily engaged.
Still good. Yeah. Okay. Not happily engaged.
She's got one more year of school to go?
Yeah.
And then that's when you probably are going to tie the knot.
I don't know.
What do I need to do to be in the wedding?
Have to do to be in the wedding? Yeah. You got to do a lot, dude.
Do I?
You've fallen behind.
I let you beat me in one-on-one.
You let me beat you.
I beat you the first game, felt bad, let you come back and get a squeaker by just to feel bad. I think that alone allows me the opportunity to at least be an usher. Ushers are the best.
You'll be... No pressure.
Dude, do you really want to be in a wedding? Come on.
You don't.
That's the worst. I mean, unless you're the best man.
The party buses are always fun.
You're not going to be the best man. I'm sorry.
No, I know I'm not going to be the best. Yeah. Did I ask to be the best man? I just want to be involved, you know?
But you can
help plan the bachelor party.
There you go.
You really don't want to be involved, though. I mean, it's better just to show up and be able to get out of there and eat some cake and do a little dancing and leave.
Usher's the best. Because you don't have to do a whole lot. You walk people down, which I kind of like because you can chit-chat with random people. But you get the party bus where you get the free alcohol right there and you can get after
that. That part's true, but you also have to acknowledge the fact that you're kind of a friend. You know? You didn't make the cut. You weren't in an important role.
You're kind of a friend.
Here's the thing. It depends.
It's like he's run out of his real friends, so now we got who else do we kind of know that wanted to be an usher?
That's perfect. That's perfect for you.
It's like Adam Gray, dude.
Hey, man, I'll freaking take it.
As long as Owen can be the ring bearer.
It depends. If a guy's got 10 groomsmen and then you're an usher, yeah, it feels bad. But if he's only got four, or if they're like his brothers, then, you know.
Yeah. Who was yours? Did you have all brothers when you got married?
I had all brothers as far as groomsmen. My best man was my buddy Cam, who went up to visit in Minneapolis. And then I had one more friend who was a groomsman. And then all three of my ushers were college roommates.
So how many groomsmen did you have?
Well, let's see here. I got four brothers. I had six total.
Six? That's a lot. Well, I had five, probably. That's not that many, I don't think. How many are you going to have, Jared?
I would probably think somewhere in the five range.
It's good he's thinking about these things.
Yeah, that's nice.
I was trying to think of who my five best friends are.
Have you asked them yet?
No, but I think that they would know. You know, like if I was getting married, I think they would know that they were going to be involved.
Where's the wedding going to be?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead.
Where's she from again? Oh, she's from Clarinda.
She's from Clarinda as well.
That's the most emotional guys ever get, too, when you ask someone to be like your groomsman or your best man. He's like, man, I'm touched, buddy. Thanks. And you probably won't actually cry.
Let's go drink a beer.
I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, man. Cool.
How did you pick your best man out of all the brothers? You just have a best friend out of those brothers?
Yeah, best friend. And, you know, at the time when I got married, we were really close. He was living here rather than up in Minneapolis. And then he decided to get selfish and move away. But
that dick.
Yeah, big dick.
It's like our good friend Bobby K.
Yeah, Bobby K moving to Milwaukee.
He got a nice little promotion, so I don't blame him. But, you know, I like commitment out of people. And this guy, this Bobby, a friend of ours that goes to Vegas, works for the IRS. That's, you know, a long story, but, you know, you don't talk about taxes around him. But he found out he's moving away. He won't even be local anymore. But he's also given me a multi-year commitment to the Vegas trip.
Has he?
He's promised that he'll be there every year. He'll just fly in from Milwaukee. And it'll be fine. You know this text chain we got going. He'll be as connected as ever. You know,
you can't get away from the text chain.
We text all year long.
I've actually looked how to get off the text chain. I have no idea how to do it.
You would actually get off, and then you'd feel like you're missing some stuff.
I would be perfectly fine with it.
He'd probably just create a new one and add you back.
He would.
Yeah.
He would.
I'm just happy we've actually had one chain going for a while. We had multiples for...
We had three. It was awful.
And that was super annoying. But you can mute them, right?
You're muted on mine for sure.
It's too bad because sometimes I just text on there and say the first one to text me back gets $100 and he doesn't get those apparently. So he should probably unmute if he wants a chance at the money.
He actually had one for Vegas. If I would have booked my trip to Vegas that day, he would have given me a $500 bet where I would get the entire winnings of the bet when we got to Vegas. And I didn't do it.
And he didn't.
Because here's the thing. There's going to be a better offer. I know Charter. He's going to get desperate. He's going to throw out a better offer. I'm just waiting for a better offer.
There's no more offer.
Just wait for the trip. The trip's going to fill up, and then it's going to be like, what are you going to do now, Adam?
How would the trip fill up?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
The plane would fill up.
The plane will fill up. You won't be able to get there.
I'll fly Allegiant.
Yeah, whatever. We barely want him there, to be honest. we feel an obligation because of the podcast.
You text me every day about this. Every day.
Yeah, I just know that when I need commitments out of people, you're not the one I'm going to turn to. I got a few other friends that would.
I'm actually a little bit bummed that there are two of people that don't look like they're going to make it, and they're probably my two favorites.
Well, Lawrence, you're talking about Lawrence.
Yeah, LC.
Lawrence has a legitimate work thing.
Absolutely does. He's
unfortunately Lawrence, who runs the Iowa State Daily. There's a Cyclone connection.
And you know he's listening right now. So what's up, Lawrence?
He's in charge of it. Lawrence is a good friend. Lawrence is too damn good at his job. That's what happened there. And he won. The Iowa State Daily was voted the best college newspaper in the country last year. So he has to go to New Orleans to accept that award. So he may miss, but that's a legit.
I still don't understand why he can't fly straight from New Orleans to Vegas.
Because apparently he's got to do a lot of glad handing and dinners and get shiny objects and bring them home.
He's good at that.
And just whatever. Lawrence is a good schmoozer.
He's great.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because Lawrence is also known as the icebreaker. You know, he's one of those guys that can get conversations started very easily. So he's nice to have along. And then the other one's our buddy John, and he's on the fence for a variety of reasons. But I think we're going to pull him off the fence, and we're going to get him to go. So
that's my 99%. I gotta see Olson get in first.
By the way, too, I failed to mention I invited another person on the trip, and I don't think they're going to go because of somewhat short notice. But I invited a famous Iowa State football player to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I moved Monday. I moved into my new home. This is exciting for Cyclone fans. But two doors away from me lives the Lane Danielson, and I invited Lane, and he seemed intrigued. He seemed intrigued.
He's not coming.
He's probably not coming.
He's not coming.
He's probably not coming. But, you know, if not this year, maybe next year. So, and we were talking earlier, I think it'd be nice to get Lane on the podcast sometime soon. I think you would do this.
That'd be nice.
And talk a little Iowa State football, what it was like to play in the McCartney era and win 9 games, which is unheard of for Iowa State, and see what he has to say about the program.
I'd have some good questions for Lane.
He can also plug the Gridiron Club. He was trying to sell me on that the other night.
Are you golfing in that tomorrow?
I'm not golfing. He said there's an auction and stuff that I thought about maybe checking out. But
yeah.
No, it's too. I didn't know about it up front. So, are you golfing?
I am in the early 7:30 a.m. tee time.
How many?
There's two
groups.
There's,
are there?
I don't. I have no idea.
Did I golf in that with you a couple years ago? 2 years ago?
Yes.
We were out there. Was that the Gridiron Club?
Was that what it was with?
Pretty sure they had a nice little ball sack that they gave away, if you know what I mean. Little Cutter and Buck leather bag that they gave away for golf balls that I still have.
Yep.
I carry that ball sack with me proudly. So, what's so funny over there? It's what it is. It's a ball sack.
I was laughing at Greg Popovich with his he had a white polo and then red, white, and blue USA like team shorts. So they were like athletic shorts and a white polo on. And his polo was like halfway down his shorts.
It's just
great Popovich.
Every time I golf with somebody new, I proudly show them my ball sack and they compliment me on it.
We're still on the ball sack thing. We have not moved down from there. We're still on.
Well, it's great. It's Cutter and Buck. It's quality. Do you still have yours? You should.
Yeah, I still have it. Yeah.
It's a nice ball sack, is it not?
How many times have you said ball sack in the last 30 seconds? A lot.
What else am I supposed to say? Ball bag? It's kind of the same thing, right?
It today, that ball sack can get a little bit overheated.
You'd probably get a little bit of moisture in the ball sack. It's that humid out there. There's no question about that.
This is terrible, terrible radio.
It's not radio. It's a podcast.
Podcast.
Hate it when people call it radio. I tell people what I do sometimes. They're like, so you have a radio show? What station? It's like, no.
It's on the internet.
Yeah.
Internet radio.
It is amazing because, you know, obviously I meet with a lot of people to talk to them about our podcast. A lot of people get it and they listen to it, but there's a lot of people that, what are podcasts? They still don't know what a podcast is.
No clue.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah. No,
You mean I could listen to it on my phone?
Yeah, the app's built in, right on there.
Pop right on up.
My father-in-law listens to this sometimes, and every time he asks me about it, I have to re-explain how to find it.
Really?
Like, go to iTunes. Okay, what's iTunes? All right. Type in Cyclone Fanatic. Then you'll see Fawcast. Click on that. Really? Like, he just doesn't get it.
So are your parents, are they technology savvy?
They're internet users. They have email, but no, they're not savvy. No.
Or even like electronics. So in my family, compared to most people, I would say I'm not very technology savvy, but in my family, I am the guy, which is terrible because my parents don't know anything. And so whenever they mess up their TV or internet or anything, I'm the person that gets
the call. Yeah.
And it is annoying as hell.
Yeah. My dad called me about something the other day and said, do you know how to do this? And my standard answer is no. I don't know how to do that. We just hired someone yesterday. Well, didn't really hire him. He was kind of a DirecTV guy. But we hooked up all our TVs at the new house the other day. And he's telling me how stuff works. And I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter.
Show me how to turn it on.
I don't get it. And if something goes haywire here, I'm calling you back to say, what happens here? They're like, oh, no, you just got to, do the, we were talking about the internet. And he was trying to hook it into like USB or whatever. And then he's like, no, what I did is I unplugged that. I went into the like the WAN, like the WAN or something. Yeah. I put it in that port and whatever, and I'm like, I do not know what you're talking about right now. I can maybe hook up a DVD player, you know, I can do that.
So you have DirecTV now and internet. You're good to go there. At your house.
I lucked out on the internet. It was going to be August 9th before they hooked us up, but he happened to – I had a modem. He plugged it in, and we still had internet live at the house.
That's nice.
So now I just got to call in and get it switched over to my name.
So when we built our house, we built it with Ethernet cables going into all the back of the TVs.
Yeah.
So we can stream everything. I don't have DirecTV. And I called in like a month before for CenturyLink to come out there.
Yep.
And it still took him 3 weeks after he moved in. So we were in our house for 3 weeks without internet or TV. So
makes it even worse is they come out and they need like 5 minutes. I mean, they just like flip a switch or something. I mean, it's super quick.
Well,
for
years, because they probably already had pre-existing internet.
Yeah. So, but I did get, I experienced 4K TV the other day for the first time. So we got 4K TVs. The new TVs are 4K.
All three of them?
All five of them.
Jeez.
Yeah. So anyway, I digress. But there's very few channels on DirecTV that are 4K, but a couple of them are. So the very first thing, I happen to be a big fan of James Taylor, the singer, and he fired up the TVs on 4K, and James Taylor was singing me a song, and it's clear.
He was singing it directly to you on this 4K. That is incredible. These 4K TVs.
Yeah.
I can't even watch baseball on my TV because I can't see the ball because the picture's so bad.
What TV?
And yet you've got 4K.
What TV do you have?
Just loan him a 4K TV. You could have four still at your house. I think four.
I don't think it's the TV. It's just we've got ICS in Ames.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Yeah, it's not like a real, I don't know.
Like, seriously, what is ICS?
It's whatever it is. Our internet's awful. It's really, really slow. It goes out
pretty much every week. Is this an apartment complex?
Yeah, yeah.
Where at? Like, who's the landlord?
Jensen Group.
So that's my brother's boss. So do you need me to yell at someone? I can do that.
No.
Let's make this happen. No, let's make it happen.
No, I don't think so.
ICS.
You don't want anyone in your place.
You realize my brother does listen to this. He'll probably be listening to this later today. So if you have any complaints about Jensen, go ahead and voice them now.
Yeah. I have no complaints about Jensen. I'm perfectly fine with Jensen.
He's like, do not come in our apartment at all.
We'll get Eric on the case.
It is dirty. It is gross. Do not come in.
We need to humor my brother, by the way. So he desperately wants to come on this and talk about track.
His track tweets are awesome.
He actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
He called the track meet, I guess, for the Iowa games, which was up at Iowa State. He's doing track meets now. He calls Ames High track meets, and he does other stuff.
I've never actually met your brother, but via Twitter, I do enjoy him.
Yeah,
He has a sense of humor I do.
There will never be a fall cast where we talk about track as long as I'm on it.
Yeah, it's pretty boring.
I love track.
I love track too. I ran track. I did all that, but
I'm dead serious. Track's fun.
I don't think it makes for great podcasts.
I have no problem going and watching a track meet, but sitting and how can you talk about track and make it exciting? You can't. There's a reason. There's
I think you could.
Why does SportsCenter never talk about track and field?
They do at the Olympics.
Because there's not events that are like mainstream for them to talk about.
Yeah,
track is us here in Iowa.
Track is much bigger overseas. There's no question about it. But, you know, track's good. We'll get Eric on here and we'll talk about something else. I'm sure we can come up with something.
He always posts his pictures of the 1979 Ames High yearbook.
I don't know why, though. He graduated in 88. Like, what was in 79?
Does he go to, like, the library and find these old yearbooks? I've always kind of wondered that. Where is he getting these yearbooks?
My brother's he's a book guy. I mean, he reads a lot of books, but I don't know if he's doing much of it anymore, but he used to be an eBay seller. So he loves going to garage sales. And Iowa State used to have a book sale, like, every couple weeks where they'd get rid of, like, old textbooks and just books from their library or whatever, and they would sell them in a warehouse. And he and my dad would go up there and do this. And they're just book guys. They love looking at old books and pricing them. And a lot of those books, I mean, my dad and brother have found books before that they've sold for $500, $1,000, stuff
what?
Like that. They're just really rare, right? And there's collectors out there that like these books. And they bought them for a quarter. I mean, that type of stuff. So I think once you get a little bit of taste of that, then you're always looking for the next one that's worth a lot of money.
Ames High, 1979.
It's like it's a dorky version of Pokemon Go is what they're doing, right? They're out there searching for Pokemons, but they happen to be books.
And
things like that.
That's got to be pretty dang dorky because I think Pokemon Go is pretty dorky. So.
I saw a kid today doing it, by the way.
I don't really play.
Don't really play, so you have played.
I have played, but I don't like play. I'm not one of those people that's out driving around trying to find the Pokemon.
Honestly, I thought when I first heard Pokemon Go and people explained to me, I thought, Jared's playing that.
No, not playing. That is I'm not playing. Game. I will say that the app is on my phone, but I don't play.
I saw a kid, just the definition, I saw a kid playing it, and the person I was with was telling me, because I was watching this kid walking while looking at their phone, and they said, that person's playing Pokemon Go right now. So I said, explain this to me. I said, well, they'll walk around their neighborhood, and they'll find it, and as they get closer, the Pokemon Armon or Pikachu or whatever the hell it is will get bigger on their screen. And I said, well, how do they catch it? Like, what do you do? He's like, oh, you throw Pokeballs at them.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And and this was a kid I was watching. So fine, that, you know, have fun, dude. It's the summer. But it's not just kids. I mean, there's a lot of adults out there doing this. So I'm sure we have listeners we're offending right now that are Pokemon Go aficionados.
Jay Burke is pissed right now.
There are Pokestops everywhere.
By the way, Jay Burke, someone tweeted me earlier about the Jay Burke coffee, and I still plan to have that coffee.
Did he reach back out to you?
He did, and we haven't set it up. So, Jay Burke, I apologize. I just bought a house on Monday. Things are a little bit busy.
Right now, there are people that are pissed that we're even mentioning him right now. People are a little tired of the Jay Burke talk on Fanatic.
Well, we need to have our coffee so we can wrap it up.
Okay.
So then I could come on here and say, like, that guy was a real ass, or he was fine.
We'll move on to the next one, yeah.
And who's next? Ribs and Whiskey? They've never hated on me, though. We need to find someone. It was like Dark Star. This was way back in the day. I haven't been hated on too much lately, I don't think.
You're not on the forums as much as you used to be.
Yeah, I haven't been on there. But wait till football season starts. That's where I get on and offer people free money if Iowa State wins and stuff like that.
You should do one if Iowa State goes to a bowl game and start doing the Word of the Week again. I enjoyed the Word of the Week.
Yeah. You liked Moist.
Very much so.
So, yeah, if Iowa State goes to a bowl game, I will give away a trip to a podcast listener to go to that bowl game. I don't have a problem doing that. I'll say that right now. 6 wins.
Boom.
We're there. I'll be happy to do it because that bowl game will be in Detroit or wherever. Where would it be? A 6-win Iowa State team? I mean, it's not going to be impressive. Memphis?
It'd be like the Inside Bowl or something.
Could be Boise. Could be
Boise might be an every other year trip here before too long.
Talk to me when it's over.
It's happening, Adam Gray.
I wouldn't mind going out there. I've heard that's
happening.
I'm sure it's happening. It's been happening for 15 years.
I've heard that's beautiful.
It did happen once. Okay. Let's be real here.
I would love to get Boise added. That would be nice, I think. I'd go.
Boise is a great town.
No, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Been there?
Out there. Yeah. No, I haven't been there. I mean to something similar, but I have family that's been there.
What's something similar to Boise?
Park City, Utah.
Okay. Okay.
You know, similar geography feel. Yeah. You know, I haven't been. I went to Seattle, kind of in the country out there in the woods, which isn't the same as Boise, Idaho. But everybody that I know that's been there said it's gorgeous.
That's what I hear too.
So I would not mind going out there at all. I doubt we have a direct flight from Des Moines, Iowa, to Boise, Idaho, though.
Probably not.
Maybe Omaha. Is there any direct flights to Boise from anywhere? I think there'd have to be.
There have to be a direct flight.
I need to get to know the powers that be so I can get on the plane, the charter flight going with the team.
Get charter on the charter.
It only makes sense, boys. It only makes sense.
All right, so charter's guaranteed 6 wins for the season.
I wish I could.
On the back of Nick Fett.
You know how this goes, right? I'm predicting 4 wins. As fall camp goes along and little tidbits come out about certain players playing well and their depth chart gets mixed around, I get excited, and then I up it to 5. And then the day before the UNI game, I come on here and I'm saying, 6 wins, guys, we're going bowling. It's how it works every single year. I never listen to my initial thought. I always bump it up 1-2 wins every year. But right now I'm saying 4
wins. That happens to everybody, though.
Did you get excited once it gets here. Did you get a season-long bet in or no?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
I'm still pissed off about last year.
The 3.5 win thing is awfully juicy, boys. I'm tempted. I wish I was in Vegas.
Not as juicy as 3 was last year, and
we won 2, right?
We won 3.
Oh, so it's a push.
Kansas State game.
Oh, that was it,
Toledo
man.
Toledo game, that was, Iowa game.
So close. So close.
I don't want to talk about it.
I think we get 4. I really do. I think we get 4. I think Campbell goes down and beats the tar out of K-State. Says, take that, Vampire. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
They come here, though, this year.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
There you go.
I do think we win that game, though. Just put 4 quarters together, dude. We were a great first-half team last year. We would have been a 7-win team if the game ended at halftime, you know?
teams made adjustments, and we
– I mean, how many teams do we have a lead on last year halftime? Or were we close? I mean, Iowa?
Iowa, Kansas State.
Toledo? Were we beating Toledo at half?
No, I don't think we were, actually.
What were we doing in Texas?
went in.
We beat Texas. So that was one of our three.
Oh, did we beat them? Yeah.
23-0 or something
like 24-0, that. 24-0, yeah.
Oh, I forgot we shut them out.
That's embarrassing for them.
I bet against Iowa State in that game.
That team was so bad, dude. That offense was awful.
Their quarterback refused to throw.
Yeah.
Same thing with you and I. Remember you and I, their quarterback would not throw the ball the whole second half.
Yeah.
He would drop back. He'd have all day. Just did not want to throw the football. Yeah, so we're really good about good defending those guys.
For sure. All right, you guys good?
I'm good.
No, I want to go another hour, dude.
Okay, can we record the On the Trail podcast while we record the second
That'd
hour
be awesome.
Of the podcast?
Two podcasts, same time.
In one.
And let's record over each other. It'd be great. You can decipher what you want to hear. Yes, I'm done.
I'm done as well. I mean, I'm going back here and looking at last year to see what games we might have been winning.
This was number 87, I believe, if the math is right.
We're going to have a cool new website to go look at number 87 on.
God, I've been hearing about this website for so long.
I'm going to Chris's house tonight, and we're going to stay up all night long and work on the new website.
I told C-Dub, if you guys need help, let me know. I might be able to, but like I said, I don't know if I'd be talented enough to do that at all.
I don't want you to come and work tonight and stay up all night and work, and then tomorrow you decide to be a girl and don't want to drink then to celebrate the new website being released.
So is it getting released tomorrow? The website? When's it?
I wonder if when I slap you in the face, the Fockers will be able to hear it echo through your microphone.
When is the launch officially?
I think Chris said something like, well, I think
tomorrow
I'm supposed
morning,
to be over there.
It?
Yeah, it's tomorrow morning sometime. I don't know if we have an official time set.
Is it way better?
Yes.
Okay. Can you look at it on your phone?
Yes. That's the best part about it. I mean, that 100% is the best part about it.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, it's going to take a little bit of time for people to get used to the forums because, I mean, change, it always takes a little time to
I assume, because people would lose their freaking minds if this didn't happen, but I assume like all their like points and statuses and all that got transferred over to the new one.
All their posts will. I don't believe points do.
I don't think the point system exists with this new one though.
You guys are gonna get so much hate.
No, because people are excited because CyBookie is returning. Do you know CyBookie? Were you around?
I know the name, but I don't know what the relevance is.
We'll be able to bet on the website. It's fake money, but I mean, it's fun for people to see who can end up having the most money.
So it's a fictitious account.
Yeah. You know, we should figure out a way to do some sort of game system on this where you start off with X amount and whoever has the most points by the end of the month wins a prize.
Kind of like Pokemon Go is what you're talking about.
No, because this is actually not
Except nerdy. Not it, at all.
This is more
Are you guys – So you're not at all concerned that these people that are whatever they're called on the Fanatic now, like you know, pros, rookies, you know, whatever.
They'll be mad.
They get
they'll
status. So you're resetting everybody, basically.
Well, I think it'll still show how many posts they have, and all the content is going to flood over. So all their old posts, all the content that Jared and Chris and Rob
it's all dropped tonight.
So yeah, going over to the new site. So that aspect's not. It's just the points, and I think maybe five people will get mad. Maybe
the people that have a lot of points.
I don't think they'll be that mad. Just a little bit.
I think it'll be way more worth it to be able to look at it on your phone.
I think people are going to be pissed, but hey, do what you need to do, fellas. Do what you need to do. You're going to get a few emails. You realize how hard I've worked to get my points to this place in life?
It's funny. I honest to God, I've never looked at the points.
Yeah, I don't even understand the points.
I've never looked at.
I don't think it's as much about points as it is about their titles. Right? They get titles on that site. They get. Whatever the titles are, you know, Grand Czar and Grand Poobah, Rookie No More.
Like mine says Administrator.
That's sexy. That's a sexy title.
I feel good about it.
I don't know what mine says. I have something. I don't think it says Rookie. I think it says something else.
It says Douchebag.
Douchebag. You should give out that new title. One person on the site gets that.
Jared, yours still says recruit.
I believe it.
We don't even have you on for anything important.
That's awesome.
We gotta change that.
That's awesome.
Some people are walk-ons if they don't have a lot.
That's probably what Krogs
Hall
is.
Hall of Famer if you have a lot of posts. Addict if you have even more posts.
Yeah. I like these.
Speechless. All-star. Walk-on.
See, I think that's cheesy. It'd be good to get away from that system, IMO.
I honestly never even noticed it was there.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I actually am a pro is what it says for me. Pro with the administrator right below it.
There you go.
This is fascinating stuff.
Definitely.
Love it.
So, check out Cyclone Fanatic on Friday because it'll be all kinds of cool stuff. For Mark and Adam, I'm Jared. Thanks for listening.